Hey, this is James from SorrelPunk.com.
And this is soon to be the dearly departed Couch Potato Mike. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm tired and exhausted. How are you?
I'm sick.
Yeah?
But the show must go on.
The show must go on.
We'll take your tired, your weak, your huddled masses.
Speaking of the show must go on, when can people expect the next episode of Survival Couch Potato Mike?
Well, that show doesn't exist. Couch Potato Mike Explains It All, though, does exist. And we are going to be our next episode.
Don't worry, we'll edit that out.
Is going to be up next week.
Next week.
Yeah,
awesome.
Next week. Awesome. And it's going to be an interesting episode. We've decided that we're actually, we like explaining and all, and we also like explaining the obtuse, the craziness. And my show has no limits, so next week we're actually going to be playing a game on my show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we'll be talking about that game later on tonight.
We will be.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
So what do we got coming up today?
Well, coming up today, we're going to be talking about how the police shut down mysterious Oath Keepers, the 11 Commandments of Cast Iron Care, Entertainment for the Apocalypse. We're going to be reviewing a new straight razor that my co-host has just picked up, last razor he'll ever have to buy, as well as our Permaculture Minute, our Wild Edible of the Week, and my celebrity invite. But let's just jump right into it right now tell you about how you can start making very wise investments over at jmbullion.com.
Absolutely. Gold and silver need to be part of your investment portfolio. If gold's keeps dropping the way it has been. Gold's going down. Silver's really going down. So I'm thinking about picking up a lot of silver.
It's the time to buy.
Yeah, exactly. Pick up some gold and silver. It'd be good for barter, good for hedge against inflation.
Absolutely.
Some good stuff. And if they both keep dropping, definitely the time to buy is on the way down.
And it will come back up.
Oh, yeah.
You can pretty much count on that like sunrise.
Yep.
So you find that banner on the right-hand side of survivalpunk.com for JM Bullion and start preparing for the new world. And while you're over there, you might want to find the little spot that's marked up for Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee.
Absolutely. Mai Tai has amazing coffee. The espresso roast was good. The pumpkin that I had was delicious, and I drank it all so quick. They do a lot of support over in Thailand to help the Thai people, paying them a fair wage for, you know, working the coffee tree fields.
So the profits from your investment and waking up right in the morning actually will go to help the struggling indigenous people of that region.
Absolutely, and you get good coffee out of it. I keep forgetting I need to place an order because I'm out and I need to.
You're
more
horrible about remembering to do stuff.
I am.
You know, unless you're moving into a shed, then you know then you remember shit.
That's so much work.
Oh yeah, I know it's a lot of work, man, but it'll be worth it.
Yeah.
You'll be out from under the thumb of the man.
I will.
Yes.
Just
another month. Alrighty, and let's just jump right into our, that was Mai Tai, Exotic Asian Coffee, banner on the right-hand side of survivalpunk.com. And up to our first news story for the evening. We're talking about, you're talking about it. I know nothing about how the police shut down the mysterious Oath Keepers. Who are these Oath Keepers and why did they shut them down?
Well, Oath Keepers is an organization of military, law enforcement, people that swear an oath to the Constitution to perform their job. You know, when you join the military, you have to swear an oath to the amendment. Mm-hmm. When you become a cop, same thing.
I swore that oath.
So they did it, and then Oath Keepers sort of enforces that. It's a voluntary group where you basically swear you're going to keep your oath. So police shut down mysterious Oath Keepers guarding rooftops in downtown Ferguson. This comes from teaparty.org. Following a night of arson fires and bashed storefronts that hit close to home, Greg Hildebrand stood naked Tuesday, drying off from a needed shower when he noticed somebody on the rooftop. "I opened the window and said, 'Hey, can I help you?' said Hildebrand, 35, a website developer. The man said he was security and would be would be up there at night with others to protect the pocket of second story apartments and lower level storefronts near Ferguson Police Department. A day earlier, rioters had broke out windows near Hildebrand apartment in the 100 block of South Florissant Road and tortured nearby beauty supply store.
I am in the middle of a difficult spot, Hildebrand said. I feel a lot better having those guys up on the roof. But he wasn't clear exactly who those guys were, where they came from. Puzzled and alarmed protesters have wondered, too, some accusing the mysterious guards in military fatigues of being in the Ku Klux Klan. In fact, they are volunteers affiliated with a 35,000-member national organization known as Oath Keepers. Yale Law School graduate and libertarian Stuart Rhodes said by telephone from Montana that he founded the group in 2009 to protect constitutional rights, including those of protesters confronted by what he described as overly militarized police. Police questioned group members early in the week and allowed them to stay, but Saturday, after an inquiry by a reporter, St. Louis County police officers ordered the Oath Keepers to leave the rooftops. Threatened with arrest for operating without a license, the volunteers argued but eventually left their positions early Saturday morning, Rhodes said. We're going to go back as protesters, Rhodes said Saturday afternoon.
Rhodes, who said he is Mexican-American, stressed that Oath Keepers is not anti-government. He said the group volunteers pulling rooftop security in Ferguson were current or former government employees and first responders, many who have intense military, police, and EMS training. We thought they were going to do it right this time, Rhodes said of government response to the grand jury decision released Monday night in the Darren Wilson case. But when Monday rolled around and they didn't park the National Guard at these businesses, that's when we said we have to do something. Historically, the government always fails to protect the people, he added.
Justine Sherrick, reporting for Mother Jones magazine in 2010, wrote an in-depth story about how long the group is hard to pin down. In the months I've spent getting to know the Oath Keepers, I've toggled between viewing them either as potentially dangerous conspiracy theorists or as crafty intellectuals with the savvy to rally politicians to their side. The answer, I came to realize, is that they cover the whole spectrum. In the wake of Monday's grand jury announcement, Oath Keepers put out a national request to members to help in Ferguson. Volunteers showed up from Nebraska, Texas, and Indiana. On Thursday, one volunteer had an infidel patch on his Kevlar vest and would say only that he came from the North. They wouldn't say how many people were part of an effort or exactly where they were placed, but they seemed to be mainly focused on a strip of South Florissant Road, two blocks north of the police station, that includes a Chinese restaurant, dentist office, bakery, and apartments. We were sick in our gut. We couldn't be here sooner, said Jonathan Kerriman of Joplin, Missouri, a state leader of the Oath Keepers who teaches police tactics. We are here to volunteer our time and to make sure everybody stays safe. Another leader would only give his first name, Sam, described himself as a weapons engineer from the St. Louis area who has done security contracting for the U.S. government. He said he was motivated to help after seeing a CNN story featuring extensive damage of Natalie's Cakes and More, which also helped generate thousands of dollars in donations for the small business. Sam said he had contacted owner Natalie DuBois and told her he was going to secure her store and others. She started crying, Sam said.
Oath Keepers boarded up a bunch of storefronts and started night rotations on several rooftops. Sam said he vetted volunteers to ensure that they weren't any racists or people with an axe to grind. He said he picked volunteers who have seen the elephant and are calm under fire. Fearing more arsonists, Oath Keeper volunteers kept buckets of water, fire extinguishers, and other non-lethal weapons on the rooftops. Some are also armed with rifles that aren't available at Walmart or Cabela's. The volunteers said they were well aware of the risks to life that arson can play and the legal right to stop it from happening. Group volunteers say they are confident that they have helped protect property and lives since they arrived. Victor Clark, a dentist at Ferguson Dental on South Florissant Road, said he was happy. Okay. So, Oath Keepers, a lot of people showed up to keep some of the idiot rioters that are... I don't understand this whole thing. So, they're pissed that a cop shot a black kid that had just robbed a store.
And was attacking him.
And was attacking him. And tried to take his gun away.
Well, and within his rights.
So to get revenge for what they feel is an illegal act, something that should not have happened, that this cop was just racist and wanted to kill a black person, they decided to burn down businesses in their community.
Thus furthering a stereotype.
Yes. Owned by, a lot of the businesses owned, like this cupcake place was owned by a black lady. So they're going to bust out windows and burn down businesses that have nothing to do with the entire thing.
You know what? Riots are made by mobs, and mobs are only as smart as the stupidest person amongst them. When mob mentality gets going, nothing makes sense anymore. Yeah, no, we're going to protest against this cop's crime by making 10,000 times more crime and millions of dollars in damages.
Yeah. So the whole, and you did hear that there was, I think, a couple hundred protesters here in Nashville that shut down I-24.
Why the hell four? It's not even the same state.
They're protesting all over the country.
Get over it.
Oh, here's one for you. I was reading this myself, and I talked about it in the article that
I wrote
today.
We're going to catch flack for this episode, and I don't give a crap.
Well, today's post is America facing a coming race war.
Well, people have been thinking that forever.
Well, I mean, with the riots going on, and so Louis Farrakhan had a speech recently where he, and I heard this on the radio, and I had to look it up because it's...
Wait, Farrakhan, why does that name sound familiar?
Stupid Islam leader in here.
Oh, yeah.
Where is it? There's a quote in here I want to read. As long as they, whites, kill us, blacks, and go to Wendy's and have a burger and go to sleep, they'll keep killing us, he said. But when we die and they die, then soon we are going to sit at a table and talk about it. We're tired. We want some of this earth, or we'll tear this goddamn country up. Quote. He's encouraging people to go murder white people.
He even said parents should teach their kids to throw Molotov cocktails.
Yes. Teach your baby how to throw a bottle if they can. Fight.
Yeah.
So,
he's a pacifist.
It's just getting out of control. It's insane.
Mob mentality, dude.
Yeah. So, good job on the Oath Keepers. Of course, the police would be the ones stopping them.
Of course.
Yeah. People are tearing your city apart, and you won't get the National Guard in there. And you won't let someone stop it. Like, when they blocked I-24, the cops just shut down the interstate. They didn't arrest anyone. They just shut down the interstate. Yeah.
Yeah, the country's imploding. I've been saying it for a long time, and it's true. The country's imploding.
Yeah. What do we got next?
On to a more chipper subject. The 11 Commandments of Cast Iron Care.
Fun. I saw this little infographic, and I'm a big proponent. I love cast iron.
But the 11 Commandments of Cast Iron Care.
Forget all the myths, follow these tips, and your skillet will last forever. Yes, forever.
Number one, thou shalt respect it. You are its steward, and it is your duty to pass it on to the next generation.
Number two, use it often. Absolutely. The more you use your cast iron skillet, the better it will work, and the more you will care for it.
Number three, thou shalt save this page. Tear it out and tape it to the inside of your pantry door.
Mm-hmm. Trying to. Number four, clean cast iron after each use. Wash with warm water while the pan is still warm.
Actually, that says hot water.
In any case, this is wrong. Forget number four. Do not wash it with hot water.
And now we're now down to James's 10 commandments of cast iron care.
Yes.
Number five, thou shalt don't use soap ever. And do not, and no matter what, don't ever put cast iron in the dishwasher.
Or I will come to your house and slap your face off. Number six, scour smartly. Use coarse salt like Morton's kosher salt for scouring stubborn bits of food.
Shameless product
without
placement.
Damaging the seasoning. Use a paper towel to rub the salt into the bottom and around the side and edge of the pan. A stiff brush will also work well. Still sticking loosened residue such as caramel. Who cooks caramel in their cast iron?
That's just talking about the caramelization process, like when you caramelize onions and stuff like that. I hope, because...
By boiling water in it, yes. Okay,
Number 7, thou shalt dry it immediately. Wipe dry after washing and heat over low flame for 2 minutes. To open the pores of the iron, use a paper towel and tongs to apply an even, light film of vegetable oil or flaxseed oil on the inside of the pan.
Scratch vegetable oil or flaxseed oil. Screw that. This is written by hippies. But James's number 7 is either use bacon grease or lard. Pig fat is the best. Number 8, store in a cool, dry place. For pans with lids, add a paper towel wad and keep the air flow. I like to hang mine up much like you do.
Yes, I do.
You need some more water or a cough drop.
Yeah, I know. Number 9, thou shalt understand seasoning. For cast iron cookware, this is a polarization of the fat bonded to the surface of the pan. In layman's terms, seasoning is the glossy sheen that gives cast iron cookware its nonstick properties and keeps it from rusting. Protect and maintain the seasoning and your skillet will last forever.
Number 10. Bust the rust. Rub cast iron with steel wool for the seriously stubborn rust on old neglected pans. Take the cast iron to a machine shop and ask someone to pressure blast it with the air or sand, then start the seasoning process. I don't know about that.
And number 11, thou shalt reseason it. Here's the best way to rebuild the seasoning and bring your skillet back to life. Wash vigorously after busting the rust. Wash cast iron with warm and... just this once, soapy water, dry well. Rub with vegetable oil. Use a paper towel to rub oil inside and outside the skillet handle. Wipe away any excess and bake at 400 degrees for an hour. Place upside down on the oven rack. Line bottom with foil. Bake, repeat oiling and baking until seasoned.
James's preferred method for seasoning? Cook bacon in it. A lot. Cook bacon in it every single morning. The fattier the bacon, the better. And my cast iron has a mirror sheen. Literally, I can hold it up and, like, look at my face in it.
You know, bacon is, like, it's the new trendy word these days. I mean, you can't go wrong with bacon. It's paleo, it's keto, it's just flat-out fucking delicious.
Yes.
Have you ever considered going on an all-bacon diet for a week and see what happens? I mean, nothing but bacon.
No, I did... I have before on occasion eaten entire packages of bacon in a sitting.
You should try an all bacon diet.
I was actually thinking about seriously going on a Kerrygold diet for a week.
Eating nothing but butter?
Yes.
That's even better.
Yes, I was going to just eat Kerrygold, like one block a day.
You should do that.
I've done cream teas before for a fat fast, where I do that for a week. You eat, 10 ounces of cream cheese a day in... One or two ounce servings every 2 hours.
When do you intend to do this? Because I think our listeners would like to follow your progress.
Soonish. When I do it, I'll announce at the beginning of a podcast. I'll do it podcast to podcast.
That's what I had in mind. Yeah. That's what I had in mind. Keep people abreast of this buttery development.
Keep what? People a boob?
What kind of pictures do you have up on your computer?
I don't know. My computer is blacking out.
Your computer doesn't like you.
It's something. What do we got next?
That's our main topic, entertainment for the apocalypse.
Awesome.
Now, how can you be entertained during the apocalypse? I mean, it's the end of the world as we know it. Mount singing.
Yeah, no.
It's a serious matter.
Yeah. I wrote about this probably a year ago, or a little over, and I felt like it was time to bring it up again. And then do it in podcast form. And you happen to know a little bit about the subject. So sometimes I like to bring subjects on that you can add, you can add your flair to.
Well, I appreciate that. Cause I like,
and on top of that...
I like whipping my flair out every now and then.
Last week, during the Thanksgiving week, I was over here a couple nights. Because on the way back from the tiny house to my apartment...
A couple, my ass, you damn near moved in last week.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's... I mean, your house is kind of on the way home from the tiny house to my apartment.
It's pretty much your third home.
Yeah. So, And we played, what, board games and card games every single night?
Oh, we gamed the hell out of that week.
Yeah. I kind of forgot that I love board games. I love trivia games.
Oh, how can one forget? I mean, I've gone sometimes months without playing board games, and, you know, I'm just like, it's all the setup and everything, and I'm lazy. And the cleanup afterwards. But no, gaming last week, just board gaming, I mean, oh, God, I fell back in love with it.
Yeah.
No, board games are great. I mean, I don't know a home in America that doesn't have at least one board game or at least a deck of cards.
Yeah, I think it's mandatory that every single home, apartment, shack, and cardboard box in an alley must have a copy of Monopoly. Everyone has it. I mean, if you don't look around, I bet you'll be like, where'd this board game come from?
All right, you back the hell up. I've heard you on many occasions say that you hate Monopoly.
I do hate Monopoly.
But you're recommending that everybody has one copy of Monopoly.
No, I'm saying everyone does have a copy.
I have seven.
Yes, I actually discovered while packing for my move that I had two copies of Monopoly. And no, I hate Monopoly.
You gave me one of them.
I did. I'm done. I have more junk to give
you. I love Monopoly. I collect the games.
You say that, and you own a bunch of them. But the times we've played, you're like, God, I hate Monopoly. Why are we playing Monopoly?
Well, you know, it's Monopoly.
The last game was such a weird fluke debacle.
Oh, my God. I have this version of Monopoly. It's the Monopoly Millionaires Edition, and they've changed it quite a bit just for this edition. For one thing, all the dollar amounts are through the frickin' roof. Still got hotels and houses and all that stuff, but they've dropped the railroads and the utilities off the board. They put these extra little cards down, these fortune cards that give you stipulations. And the point of the game is to no longer bankrupt your opponents, but if you do, that still counts. The point is to be the first person to a million Monopoly dollars.
Yeah.
And my 6-year-old son beat everybody at the table. We were playing with him, my 10-year-old daughter, me, and my co-host here, the Survival Punk himself. And my son had the most interesting approach to Monopoly I've ever seen. He bought nothing. He passed up. If he landed on a spot and, like, buy it or auction it, he auctioned it and never bid.
Yeah.
He wound up getting one property, and that was that version's... And that was that version of Monopoly's boardwalk equivalent. They named everything different on this particular game. But he bought one property, and they just sat there and Forrest Gumped his way through this entire game, and we went over and counted his money, and he had over $1 million, and we're like, well, damn.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, everybody else is playing Monopoly the way you're supposed to and losing miserably. I had, like, a few, like, dollars on the table or whatever, but...
I was going to win.
He just sat there, Rack. I mean, you were building towards some hotels there, and he just sat there, did nothing, and won.
Yeah.
So my son found the basic flaw with that version of Monopoly. It's possible to not really play the game and still win it.
Yeah. Like I said, he got lucky. Like, that was insane. Because... It was building towards a critical mass that if he didn't, because he owned no properties, and I think we owned not quite every property, but almost, right?
Three properties never even got bought.
Three properties, yeah. with hotels and houses and stuff, and without a positive cash inflow, he would have lost that money so quick once we had houses and hotels up.
Yep.
But he just happened to get to a million before then.
Yeah, he made it. He made the money faster than anybody could take him out of it.
Yeah.
But I own seven versions of Monopoly. I own the 2000 Millennium Edition and Mega Monopoly, where they make the board even bigger with more properties.
Right.
A Peanuts Monopoly, which is Charlie Brown, and Simpsons Monopoly, and Disney Monopoly. And,
oh yeah. So.
And a regular set.
Yeah.
You gotta have the basic. Almost every version of Monopoly is pretty much the same. They're just trying to shake it up a little bit. But besides Monopoly, there's plenty of board games out there.
There's plenty of stuff. And, you know,
you got to have a deck of cards in the house. I mean, the number of games you can play with just a deck of cards are, like, endless.
Yeah. I mean, even with yourself. There's something I used to do as a kid was I would play...
Hundreds of versions of Solitaire out there.
Yeah. Like I was saying, when I was a kid, I used to play... The game I Declare War by myself, I didn't have anyone around. You just put the deck in half, and you pull the cards and...
See which hand wins?
See which hand wins, yeah.
I did that a lot more.
Yeah.
I made variants. I played solo three-person war before.
That's weird.
Yeah, you can play multiple players on war. I mean, it's very easy. I've done it with the kids a few times.
Yeah.
You just play until there's one man standing.
Right.
Another game I recommend is Jenga.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Jenga's the that.
I played that recently.
Yeah, you played that here.
Yeah.
For the first time ever, I could not believe that you had never played Jenga before.
I just never. It was one of those games I never got as a kid. And
no, but the whole point of this is keep games around. I mean, and we're talking board games here, because after the collapse, I mean, electricity is more than likely going to be interrupted.
Well, I mean, not just the collapse, but, you know, this winter is supposed to be bad. The power may go out.
We got
hours. What are you going to do, just sit there?
No, we...
So, yeah, board games, card games, we're giving some examples of what we think is fun, and, you know, they don't take power.
And one other good thing about the game of Monopoly, I mean, if you're sitting there for hours on end, Monopoly can last frickin' forever, and it can at least... It can keep you... Yeah. Unfortunately, on the game night, whenever, you know, you got everybody together, like, hey, what do you want to play? I just got a new Monopoly. And then, you know, you hear people start cocking their guns. But, yeah. I mean, when you're sitting there with no power in anything and nothing else to do for the next few hours, a game of Monopoly would be it's a nice distraction.
It is a nice distraction.
And I don't just want to talk about games on this. When you're entertaining yourself for the apocalypse, also keep some good books around.
Yeah.
Everybody that reads has got a reading list of books they want to get to.
Yeah.
And with
we still got many, many, many more games to talk about.
Oh, yeah. What?
Like I said, I just recently bought Cards Against Humanity on your recommendation, kind of. You were mentioning it, and then you said your friend Todd had it, and he would be bringing it up with him for Thanksgiving. And then you corrected it, and you're like, oh, wait, Todd doesn't actually have it. He won't be bringing it. So I went ahead and bought it.
Oh, God, that game.
That game is a blast.
That game is just good for a laugh. I mean, it's the card game for horrible people.
Yeah.
You have this one stack of cards. It basically asks a bunch of questions or has fill-in-the-blank statements. And then you got this other crudload of white cards that all have like little sayings or names of people or objects and stuff on it, and you basically try to make the most outlandish or the funniest answer, and whoever's the czar at that particular turn, they get to pick to see who the winner is, you know, on a blind draw. And just some of the shit that came off of those white cards is just astonishing.
Yeah.
One of the hands down winners was the dead baby card.
Yes.
Dead babies. That's just a horrible answer for almost anything. And if you're lucky enough to get the set that you got, you have Daniel Radcliffe's delicious asshole to look forward to.
That was that was crazy. Fun game, and just like endless fun, endless, you know, you want a good laugh when the power's out, and, you know, disaster, flood, tornado, something. If
And all the big survivalists will tell you boredom is one of your number one enemies.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard Les Stroud say that on many freaking occasions. When you're trying to get out of something, I mean, you've done all your work for the day, and now you're just trying to survive till the next day in hopes of getting somewhere. Keeping yourself entertained is great for mental stability.
Yeah. You would think that one of the worst disasters of our time, correct me if I'm wrong, the Great Depression.
Yeah, that's right up there.
Do you know what did not happen during the Great Depression?
What's that?
Money going towards entertainment did not drop. In fact, it increased. Movie ticket sales went up.
Oh, I can imagine.
You know,
anything to keep
entertainment, all that stuff. Yeah, it all went through the roof because people didn't want to think about how crappy things were.
And shit was crappy.
Yeah, so people will never give up entertainment. No, so it's good to do things like this.
I mean, entertainment was invented out of boredom.
Yes. I mean, one of our favorite games that does not even require buying anything except for having scraps of paper is the game from Inglourious Basterds that I don't even know if it has a name.
They've actually, well, they've made a version of it called headbands or something like
you
that.
No, you use paper index cards. Or
yeah, just paper index cards. You basically write the name of a famous person or character. Could be fictional, could be factual, could be live, could be dead, could be anybody, but just a name that's famous. You write that on a card and pass it to the person on your right or left, whichever way you want to go on this. And they have to lick it and stick it to their forehead. And then, you know, you get to go around the circle asking questions about who is on your card, and you're trying to figure it out, and you win if you correctly guess the name on your card.
Yeah.
But one of our, oh god, a game that we used to love to play, especially when we were in the X court and bored off our gourds, was a game that actually did a little while back on one of our underground podcasts. It was a game that we named Ewoks versus Barbarians.
Yes.
Basically, one of us picks a random fictional character. And the
or
other,
realistic.
Random or realistic.
We could have threw out Abraham Lincoln. That would have worked.
And the other one has to pick somebody that's supposed to be relatively equal to them and in the same genre or sort of like that. A good match for them. And then we, on the honor system, decide who wins the fight to the death.
Right.
The reason I called it Ewoks versus Barbarians is one time I picked Wicket and Jay Warwick, like the head Ewok from Return of the Jedi, the one that befriended Princess Leia, and because he was a warrior, James picked Conan the Barbarian, a move that I, to this day, have never forgiven him for.
That
because they dressed alike.
They did dress alike. So it made sense in my head. And that game, hours of entertainment.
That required nothing. No props, no cards, no anything. I mean, you're bored enough, you'll make up mind games. Like the game that we used to play where we'd go around naming fictional characters in alphabetical order.
Yeah.
Until somebody got stumped and then they were out of the game.
And then you get a point for that letter.
Yep. I mean, absolutely. I used to love getting A because I'd pull out Ash from the Evil Dead. Not the Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead, yeah.
From the Evil Dead and just piss you off because he's like one of your favorites.
Heck yeah.
Bruce Campbell. Ugh.
Yeah. So I mean, that, you know, make believe games, board games, like Mike said, books. Books are a good thing to keep around.
I would advise against the game of life.
In
the best of times, that game depresses me.
Why does it depress you?
It's like you get all the stuff that you're never gonna get.
Oh.
We're a generation of men pumping gas.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, don't make me whip my Tyler Durden out on you. I'm whipping everything out tonight. I'm in a whip it out kind of mood.
Yeah.
Which is why you're putting on your jacket.
Yeah. Books, I mean, God, they're so easy to stockpile, like, paperback books right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Dominoes.
What?
Dominoes.
No, not dominoes.
You're bored enough, you're going to set up some elaborate dominoes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that.
I stumped him with my dominoes. And now I'm wanting pizza.
I have some movies and stuff on my computer that during a short-term disaster, I can keep my laptop powered to watch like one movie a day. I don't know, for maybe a couple weeks with the backup powers and stuff I have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, heck, with a DVD player, the Jumpstart packs that you get from Walmart usually have an outlet. So you could run a portable DVD player off that thing. Oh my God, for so long.
But keep in mind, I mean, in a major disaster, you're going to want to be conserving your electrical supply.
Yeah, I mean, The long term, I mean, statistically, usually like 3 days is about the most you have to do without power, usually. So, you know, you watch one movie a day for 3 days, you should be fine.
Yeah. Now, Trivial Pursuit. Almost any version of Trivial Pursuit is a good game to have around. It keeps your mind stimulated. It helps you search into those recesses of all this useless crap that you know. Because it becomes useful during that game.
I I will always play Trivial Pursuit.
Oh yeah,
I would play it at the drop of a dime.
And also, don't underestimate the value of just like some paper and a pencil. I mean, because I can think of like three games right off the top of my head that you can just do by drawing on paper. You got tic tac toe for the basics out there. You want to get into wordplay? You got Hangman. I never knew the name of the game. I just called it Squares, where you'd make a grid of dots. You could make a grid of dots on the paper, and then you just draw lines connecting the dots. You draw a line, and then your opponent draws a line. And once you actually make a square out of it, you get to put your initial in it. And by the time you fill up the grid, whoever's got the most squares wins.
I have never heard of that
before. Oh, I used to play it all the time when I was a kid.
All right, Trivial Pursuit. You have so many versions of Trivial Pursuit. I have a bad habit of buying board games and then just giving them to you to put on your cabinet, because I never play board games unless I'm here.
Yeah, like Settlers of Catan.
Yeah, I want to play that game.
You could do a whole segment just on Settlers of Catan.
I love that game.
It has all these different versions and expansion packs. Yes. I mean, everything. It's just a really good game. I mean, and it requires bartering skills too.
Yeah,
which I like.
Bartering skills, getting resources. So like gathering wood, gathering arable crops. The only thing I don't really like about Settlers of Catan is the setup. I'm tempted to get a bigger box and put it in, and then glue the board pieces in there, so we always have the same board, and you take it out and you set it.
Yeah.
That's really the only thing I don't like about Settlers of Catan is building the board.
Huh. Yeah, it's kind of annoying.
Yeah. Learning curve is kind of there. Like, once you know the game, you just set it up and go.
Now, there's another game that we kind of like to play sometimes. It's a board game I own. It might not be well known. It's called Quelf. It's basically a game where you're just trying to get to the end of the board, and you have to draw cards constantly, and they make you do some really funny and really stupid shit. It's kind of like Truth or Dare without having to think up stuff.
I don't like parts of Quelf. The stunts get kind of annoying sometimes.
I mean, like when you had to put a pot on your head and beat on it with a spoon?
Multiple times, yeah.
Well, you're the one that keeps drawing that card.
Well, the whole stunt thing I get over with kind of quick. Like, the categories, sometimes you burn out on them too. But usually I like the... Because one of the cards is like, usually you either pick like A or B, and you have to name things in that category until someone can't think of something in that category, and then you give up.
Right.
I like that. That's fun. there's trivia questions on there, I think, but you almost never get them.
Yeah, they're the green cards.
Kind of annoying.
Quizzles.
Rules. So there's rules. You pick a card, it gives you a rule, you have to do what it says, which is okay, I guess, but...
It's a good game for every once in a while, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Speaking of cards, though, it's a drinking game, but I think you can play it without drinking. I think you can modify...
I don't see what the point is, but what... But
Ring of Death?
Ring of Fire.
Ring of Fire, all right. Because, I mean, there's a lot of it is based on drinking.
Everything's based on drinking. You draw a card and you decide who drinks. It's a game that you can never honestly play again. Oh, God, I could see you play it. Oh, never mind. I don't think you want to talk about that here.
I can play it without drinking.
I'd like to see a bunch of, like, potheads play it with, like, mushrooms.
Oh, I was going to say, you could play it with insane amounts of, like, if I were to drink a liter of water... Every time I was supposed to take a shot,
you'd die.
Well, I mean, it would induce vomiting like it's supposed to do anyway.
Or your stomach would explode.
Or you know what? We'll do that gallon of milk quit thing. I'll try to drink an entire gallon of milk.
I got a better one. Ring of butter.
Ring of butter. Oh.
Every time instead of drinking shots, you have to take a bite of a butter stick.
Okay, so
that is highly possible. It's also ketogenic.
Yeah. Years ago, there was this like bet they were making for $20 that you couldn't eat an entire stick of butter.
We were doing it wrong, though. We did it with margarine.
I think we did do it with margarine.
We didn't know the difference. Margarine, butter, what's the difference? Yeah. This was years before Paleo James.
Yeah, I remember trying to like sink my teeth into the stick of butter and like the gag reflex went off and I just threw up.
You and our missing friend Jonathan came over with a 4-pack of margarine sticks.
Yeah.
One for each of us, and everybody figured that I'd be the one that could eat that whole damn thing.
And even you, like, were on the side of your apartment building just throwing up. After you, I got like half of it.
I got 3/4 of it. I got almost through it. I did better than either one of you two,
except for your wife, who devoured it and licked your fingers clean.
Yeah, she kind of destroyed us with that.
Yeah. I just had a baby. It was awful.
Yeah, she had the unfair advantage of having like a post-baby appetite.
Yeah. We should redo it and film it for YouTube and do it with Kerrygold butter.
Absolutely, we should. We need to play frickin' Ring of Fire with Kerrygold butter.
Oh, my God.
We need to reach out to them.
Eat stick of butter.
Wouldn't that be awesome if we could get them to sponsor the show?
Oh, my God. I would trade them butter for sponsorship so fast. Years worth of butter.
Years worth of butter. That's how many sticks a month, though? How many little tubs a month?
I think I go through one of those blocks in, like, 3 days.
So you hear that, Kerrygold? If you send him about 120 blocks of Kerry's Gold Irish butter, you get free sponsorship on the show for a year. All you pay us in butter.
And I can put that in my Mai Tai coffee. Nom.
How the hell did we get on this? We were talking about board games.
Board games, good entertainment for the class. Make sure you have some board games.
We were just
besides
on
just
there.
Your Monopoly copy that is mandatory that every American has in their closet.
I'm pretty sure they slipped it into the Constitution somewhere.
Yeah, it's
brainwashing.
37th Amendment. Got to have Monopoly.
Oh, and then you'll catch it on sale at Walmart, and you get a whole brand new Monopoly game for under $10, and you're like, whoa, that's the cheapest. I have to get that Monopoly.
Yeah.
Of course, I will applaud them for adding in the speed die. There's a speed die. It's a third die that you can roll, and you can actually skip ahead to the next unknown property. It helps get the properties all bought really quick. And then after all the properties are bought, it makes you skip ahead to the next property you don't own and pay somebody rent.
Yeah, that copy I would consider playing again. The Millionaires is garbage, and the Regular is garbage.
You just hate it because you lost to a 6-year-old.
No.
Yeah, you lost to a 6-year-old.
So what do we got next?
I did too. I mean, okay, up next, we're going to be, it's our Gadget Punk corner. And we're going to be talking about the very last Razor that our survival punk over here will ever own.
I have been planning on going full...
Potato?
Real razor blade, straight razor, for a year now or so?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe two?
Oh, yeah, I've heard you yapping about it.
Yeah,
quite often.
So I've been...
Did you bring it with you?
No, I didn't.
You cock.
I've been shaving with... it's beautiful, too. I'll have to show you sometime.
You've been shaving with a bee and a
clam shell. No, I've been shaving with a disposable razor blade, straight razor. So you take safety razors...
How does that work? Sorry, I'm patient.
You take safety razors and you cut them in half. So you have just one single razor blade. And then the razor blade, the straight razor holder, has like this little slot. And you push it out, you load your razor blade in it, and then you pull it back in. So you've got a holder that has just the tip of the safety razor sticking out of it.
That sounds like a prison weapon.
You could shave a man with it, yeah. So I've been shaving with that. You know, you get maybe a couple shaves out of it before you need to change the blade. Yeah. You know, one or two shaves. But, you know, a pack of 100 safety razors is like $3.
Does the sharpening on your pants, does that work at all for those? Because I've heard you...
Regular razor blades, yeah. I had a Mach 3 last 6 months that way.
I must be doing it wrong because it just seems to dull mine down.
You don't... Yeah, it works. I mean, you don't... At like the 2 or 3 month mark, you stop getting like a super close shave, but you get like, after you shave, you get like this amount of stubble.
Oh, finally, it's leaving the skin on now.
Yeah. So I've been shaving with that, you know, for the past year or so to get ready for a real straight razor. And I finally made the investment. It was quite the investment.
Anything's better than Gabriel's razor.
Oh, they had those two real ones, safety razors.
Those that thing was a death machine.
Yeah. So I'd looked at the razor before, you know, I'd sort of like picked it up and played with it. It's I don't even remember the name. It's a funky German name. It's a German made straight razor with plain wood grain scales.
It has scales?
That's what they call the handles on straight razors.
Oh, okay. They're called
scales, just like a knife scales.
I didn't know that. I'm not a razor aficionado.
So, you know, it was a step up from the, you know, the ugly black plastic ones, but certainly not in the pearl range. You know, it's just plain wood. It looks sort of like bamboo to me. I liked it. I think it may be bamboo or just untreated wood.
But what else did you get along with your razor?
I got a leather strope.
Yeah, for sharpening it.
Right. For honing it.
How can you sharpen steel on leather? That makes no sense.
It just polishes it.
Seems like it cuts straight through it.
Yeah. Well, you pull the back side of it.
Oh. Okay.
You're not cutting into it. You're dragging the back side of it, dragging across it.
I always got a kick out of that, watching them in the old cartoons sharpen a steel blade with a leather strap.
Yeah.
I'm like, that doesn't really work. They don't really do that, do they?
Yeah, they do.
I thought they were just using it to clean it or something.
Yeah. So I got that, and I got a brush to build the lather.
Oh, you got the shaving brush.
Yeah, I got that. So, you know, the whole little set, and I was so excited because it's December, which meant I just went through No Shave November.
Right.
So I had, and this year I didn't shave at all.
I'm growing my December beard.
No neck scruff, nothing. I was so excited to, and then, you know, to finally shave.
I know, you're all Grizzly Adams.
Yeah. So I did the whole little preparation, you know, like I washed my face thoroughly and, you know, brushed the, lathered up the shaving cream on my face.
I finally had to trim my beard a little bit. It was starting to get really bushy. I was feeling like Mick Dodge.
Yeah.
Who still hasn't been on the show yet. You're talking about your razor. I keep derailing you.
Yeah, so, you know, I finally shaved the beard off. It took a little bit.
Looks good.
Did not nick myself once. That was awesome. No, nope.
That is awesome. You're sharpened correctly.
Probably took me like 20 minutes.
How close of a shave is it giving you?
This is one day regrowth.
Well, I'm not going to rub your face to see how stubbly that is.
So, yeah, and then I'll shave when I get home or tomorrow morning sometime.
Now, but it's the whole experience with it, and you know.
Yeah.
How long, you said it's going to be the last razor you ever buy. I mean, how long do one of those blades actually last?
Whenever I knock up a girl, my grandkids will be shaving with this thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah, so there's, you know, they're saying I may get a good quality sharpening stone to sharpen it myself, but they're like, yeah, you could bring it back in and have it sent off to be sharpened in about 10 or 11 months.
Wait, it takes them 11 months to sharpen it? No, yeah. You take it back in. Never mind.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm sorry. I'm on illness medicine.
Yeah.
I'm kind of feeling a little wah right now.
So, yeah, you know, they're like, there's some people around here that may do it, but, you know, it's a professional, maybe like high-end German company or something that does the resharpening. I have sharpening stones, but they will not sharpen this. No, I want a professional to do that. So, yeah, I mean, at I think $30 a resharpen of, like, once a year, that's not that bad.
You'll spend more than that in razors.
Oh, yeah.
Disposable razors each year.
You know, so maybe I'll get a good high-quality Japanese sharpening stone and think about it in the future. But, I mean, for now, it's a good shave. I like it.
Yeah, and that's been our review on his straight razor. You got to bring that thing over. I'd like to take a look at it.
I certainly will.
Might even let you shave me come January for the show.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want you shaving me. You'll slit my throat. Especially after this episode. I've just been knocking you off target all night. Hell, I can't even talk right now. But while I am not able to talk, let's let you talk about the good people over at CampingSurvival.com.
So yeah, CampingSurvival.com. So great stuff for bugging out and bugging in. Fish antibiotics, which is a good time of the year to be stockpiling antibiotics. I don't really recommend self-medicating so much, but, you know, if you can't afford to buy antibiotics, then there's that. So, yeah, fish antibiotics, free shipping. They just had some good Black Friday deals. You should have got them then. Good stuff. Check them out on the banner on the right-hand margin of survivalpunk.com, campingsurvival.com.
And now it is time for this week's Permaculture Minute, brought to you by Paul Wheaton's Permaculture Playing Cards deck. Let's see.
Which will be excellent Christmas gifts for people.
Absolutely. And it'll also stave off boredom during the apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
Play some poker and learn a few things you didn't know. This week's card is the Seven of Hearts. Pigs. I just love it. Simply says bacon across the top. You see that?
Bacon.
Just bacon.
One of the things hidden on there.
Yep. Let's see. Farmers have used pigs for centuries to seal ponds. They have a unique way of stamping the bottom of a pond so that it is sufficiently compacted to hold water. That's something useful about pigs I didn't even know. Pigs enjoy eating the excess fruit that falls down from trees. Rotting fruit can attract pests and damage your crops. So they're also good for cleanup.
Heck yeah.
Pigs love to turn soil, rooting for all kinds of underground treats. Seth Holzer says that if you don't have pigs, then you must do the pig's work. And that is...
Let me see the piggy card.
Yeah, you look at that piggy card. That has been our Permaculture Minute for this week. Now coming up next is our Wild Edible of the Week. Our Wild Edible... of this week comes out of the Complete Guide to Edible Wild Plants, Mushrooms, Fruits, and Nuts, How to Find, Identify, and Cook Them by Katie Letcher Lyle. And this week's Wild Edible of the Week are marigolds. The marigold is a bright yellow flower with a pungent fragrance that makes a nice bright yellow tea and is otherwise a useful plant medicinally. The name, kin to the word calendar, means of the months and probably indicates a long-growing season. See, in a Japanese restaurant, I once ordered marigold tea and got three yellow marigold flower heads floating in the scalding water. To my surprise, it tasted really good. Marigold tea, I later learned, is said to promote menstruation and be a sedative in an infusion. Let's see. Gather the full-blooming flower heads of jasmine, violet, lavender, and marigolds, or honeysuckle, or the petals of fragrant roses, and steep them for 3 to 5 minutes in boiling water, or dry them carefully for later use and store in loosely in jars. I have an attic of screen doors on two sawhorses. I have in the attic a screen door and two sawhorses, which makes it nearly perfect place for drying herbs and flowers. And that has been our Wild Edible for the Week.
Nice.
Mike's Paleo Report for this week has been canceled due to the fact that I've been off my diet.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll get back on that diet one day. I mean, I did have a lot of success, and I think it was a great, at least, experiment for the show. I managed to lose a lot of weight on it. And I will, and I do intend to get back on that diet. But this category is going to be soon replaced by James's Butter Challenge, at least for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about eating well, we might as well talk about Well Food Co.
Well Food Co. By John Wellborn and his wife. Good food, high quality stuff. Good holiday snacks that are good for you, like their peppermint chocolate bar, this soy free, dairy free, tasty, good stuff.
Apparently not flavor free.
No, not flavorful.
Flavorful.
The paleo MRE carne bars by John and Rob Wolf. So really good food. Go to the banner in the right hand margin, wellfoodco.com.
And while you're over in that banner in the right-hand margin over on survivalpunk.com, you could also find and click on a place where you can go and get all the ammunition you want over at freedommunitions.com.
Yeah, they just had a free shipping for Cyber Monday, Black Friday. I was looking at some of their prices. Good stuff. They were sold out of the stuff that I wanted, but that's because they're making a lot of business and selling a lot of bullets. So definitely check out Free Munitions. New stock coming all the time in all the popular good calibers. And then click on the banner in the right-hand margin. Go buy some bullets.
Yep. Or some Glintadium, the currency of the new world.
Glintadium.
Yep. And if you want to sell your stuff here, if you've got a product that you think fits our little fields of expertise, if it's anything from coffee to bullets, from gold to camping supplies, anything like that, you got tools you want to sell, you got food you want to sell, you come over, you contact James at survivalpunk.com, and we could set you up on good deals. You've heard the man. He wouldn't mind if you paid him with Kerry's Gold Butter, for God's sakes. Right. And Kerry's Gold, I'm looking at you out there. So just James at survivalpunk.com if you want some good advertising by some very reliable people. We have not missed an episode since our reboot, which was months ago.
Yeah.
Alrighty, and now it's time for Mike's Celebrity Invite of the Week. And my Celebrity Invite of this week, and this one's going to be a tough one, because these guys are going to be really tough to get a hold of. So I'm actually... There's this theory that everybody in the world's connected by 7 degrees. You know somebody who knows somebody. So I want all of our Survival Punk Army members, all of our Survival Punk listeners out there to help me, because I want at least one member of SEAL Team 6 to come on the show. They are the ones that went in there and killed Osama bin Laden.
Oh, yeah.
And I want them on the show. They are survivors. They put an end to the scourge. And they're one of the few groups out there that occasionally make me proud to be an American. So SEAL Team, anybody from SEAL Team 6, you have an open-ended, open-door invite onto Survival Punk Podcast or onto my show, Couch Potato Mike Explains It All. And, you know, we talk a lot about the website and all the banners, but enough about the banners for right now. I know you people have been on survivalpunk.com, and I know you have seen the little links to click on where you can become members of the Survival Punk Army. And we want you to click on those links. We really want you to click on those links because the Survival Punk Army wants you.
We do want you. Get exclusive content, discounts to, I believe, 11 or 12 vendors and more being added as soon as I can get them.
The very slim possibility of meeting SEAL Team 6.
Yes. E-books. So good stuff back there. And then you help support the show. I think it's like a quarter update on the website.
Yeah, you can even get the whole series of our show in a neat little 10 episode zip files.
Yeah. I've had people say it before, like, hey, I want back episodes, because, you know, iTunes only lists like a certain amount and you can't go back and get a bunch, so
yeah,
you just get the zip files from the Survival Punk Army.
You can have the whole set. Absolutely. So find that little link, click on it. You can get year memberships, you can get 6 months in memberships. Can you get 1 month memberships?
You can get 1 month membership billed on a monthly basis through PayPal for $5 a month.
And hey, if you don't have a lot of cash to go around, this man will barter with you. He'll take a lot of things.
Yeah, so shoot me an email, jamesrowpunk.com, if you've got an idea you want to barter.
Absolutely. But click that link, join up, because the Survival Punk Army wants you! And I need a call. I need a lozenge.
I want Mike to get a throat lozenge.
We're about to have to film an episode of Keep Mike Alive if this is the way this is going. Well, in case y'all are wondering why we didn't talk about that woman battling brain cancer with ketogenics, we'll talk about that now next week's episode. We started running a little long, and we're trying to keep the show under 24 hours. So, alrighty, but I think this has been a pretty good show. Really, we got a lot of stuff talked about there.
Yeah,
I can't even think right now. You folks at home, you got to excuse me. I am a bit under the weather. I'm feeling a bit peckish.
Yeah.
All right. But for all of our loyal Army members and everybody else listening, this has been the Survival Punk Podcast. This is Mike.
This is James.
And remember the value of the flu shot.
DIY to Survive.